What do we know about interventions that can really help, and how can evidence-informed practice benefit teachers and pupils?
It depends to some extent which aspect or area of special education needs or disabilities that you're talking about. I mean, some of the discussion we've just been having in relation to how you support young people in FE is partly about issues of the extent to which particular strategies and practices are disseminated so that people have a repertoire of possible ways of addressing particular needs and how they play out in particular lessons. It would be nice to say that there is a wealth of strategies for every aspect of special needs or disability, but that's the reality is not there, that's not the case. And indeed, one of the issues is being clear about what is evidence-based and what is simply practice of long standing. Mm-hmm. And that at all is not at all clear in many areas. I mean, there is the role of phonics in relation to reading and dyslexia more broadly, but there are other areas where interventions, for example, that might be useful are less clear, and who they are best suited for and in what circumstances is less clear as well.
Well, our practice doesn't match up with the holy grail of double-blind controls, does it? That's one of the issues, I think, in general, research.
I mean, there are some random control trials that exist, but there are also meta-analyses where the literature is reviewed and identified interventions that are effective. So I think it would be wrong to say there isn't an evidence base. There's a very good What Works web page which looks at it. But I mean, I think Carl's point is the important one, isn't it? It's for which child, at which point in development, and in which context. And within that, there's a debate about, you know, whether there is a special needs pedagogy, the Norwich and Lewis work at all. But I think, you know, there are studies out there, there is an evidence that you can use to inform practice. There are very few random controlled trials, and in some cases, the question might be, do you actually need a random control trial, or can you do it through a quasi-experimental method or different types of ways as well? So I think for some things there is evidence, but for some things it's just, you know, we think this is what's working, and that, you know, education is not specific.
Different depending on the nature of need, in the sense that if we believe the data that we have in terms of survey statistics, then dyslexia is relatively common. Certainly, it's relatively common compared to visual impairment, which is a very low incidence disability and may have a whole range of associated learning difficulties, or auditory impairment, which may have slightly different implications. But where you have a low incidence need, where there is very high variability even within a particular condition, then coming up with a one-size-fits-all strategy is very difficult. Equally, doing a large-scale study where it's very difficult to get a reasonable sample size, for example, wouldn't be practical, and certainly a randomised controlled trial in that sense wouldn't work. So we have different standards in that sense of evidence available to us, but that doesn't prevent us from looking at them systematically, drawing out common points and investigating those common points
as practical strategies. And I think that's an evidence-informed teaching and learning rather than evidence-based.
That's right. I would agree with that, yes.